age. Are you happy? If not, consult Mr. Parker Pine, 17 Richmond Street. Absurd, said Mrs. Packington. Utterly absurd. Then, after all, I might just see. Which explains why, at 11 o'clock, Mrs. Packington, a little nervous, was being shown into Mr. Parker Pine's private office. As has been said, Mrs. Packington was nervous. But somehow or other, the mere sight of Mr. Parker Pine brought a feeling of reassurance. He was large, not to say fat. He had a bald head of noble proportions, strong glasses, and little twinkling eyes.
Pray, sit down, said Mr. Parker Pine. You have come in answer to my advertisement, he added helpfully.
Yes, said Mrs. Packington, and stopped there.
And you are not happy, said Mr. Parker Pine, in a cheerful, matter-of-fact voice. Very few people are. You would be really surprised if you knew how few people are happy.
Indeed, said Mrs. Packington, not feeling, however, that it mattered whether other people were unhappy or not.
Not interesting to you, I know, said Mr. Parker Pine, but very interesting to me. You see, for 35 years of my life, I have been engaged in the compiling of statistics in a government office. Now I have retired, and it has occurred to me to use the experience I have gained in a novel fashion. It is all so simple. Unhappiness can be classified under 5 main headings. No more, I assure you. Once you know the cause of a malady, the remedy should not be impossible. I stand in the place of the doctor. The doctor first diagnoses the patient's disorder, then he proceeds to recommend a course of treatment. There are cases where no treatment can be of avail. If that is so, I say frankly that I can do nothing. But I assure you, Mrs. Packington, that if I undertake a case, the cure is practically guaranteed. Could it be so? Was this nonsense, or could it perhaps be true? Mrs. Packington gazed at him hopefully.
Shall we diagnose your case? Said Mr. Parker Pine, smiling.
He leaned back in his chair and brought the tips of his fingers together.
The trouble concerns your husband. You have had, on the whole, a happy married life. Your husband has, I think, prospered. I think there is a young lady concerned in the case. Perhaps a young lady in your husband's office.
A typist, said Mrs. Packington. A nasty, made-up little minx, all lipstick and silk stockings and curls.
The words rushed from her. Mr. Parker Pine nodded in a soothing manner.
There is no real harm in it. That is your husband's phrase, I have no doubt.
His very words.
Why, therefore, should he not enjoy a pure friendship with this young lady and be able to bring a little brightness, a little pleasure, into her dull existence? Poor child, she has so little fun. Those, I imagine, are his sentiments?
Mrs. Packington nodded with vigour.
Humbug, all humbug. He takes her on the river. I'm fond of going on the river myself. But 5 or 6 years ago he said it interfered with his golf. But he can give up golf for her. I like the theatre. George has always said he's too tired to go out at night. Now he takes her out to dance. Dance! And comes back at 3 in the morning.
And doubtless he deplores the fact that women are so jealous. So unreasonably jealous when there is absolutely no cause for jealousy.
Again Mrs. Packington nodded.
That's it.
She asked sharply,
How do you know all this?
Statistics,
said Mr. Parker Pine simply.
I'm so miserable, said Mrs. Packington. I've always been a good wife to George. I worked my fingers to the bone in our early days. I helped him to get on. I've never looked at any other man. His things are always mended, he gets good meals, and the house is well and economically run. And now that we've got on in the world and could enjoy ourselves and go out a bit and do all the things I've looked forward to doing some day, well, this.
She swallowed hard. Mr. Parker Pine nodded gravely.
I assure you, I understand your case